Oh my. But Thanksgiving's coming up, and so I thought we'd take a little venture off of our Acts study, and I'll do a message called Be Thankful. Be thankful. Because, you know, we as God's people, we have a lot to be thankful about. We're going to see that too. Daily, we're loaded down with benefits. That's something to be thankful about. Daily. The Holy Spirit cares for us and has us grow and learn. And daily, the our Lord and Savior is mediating for us in glory with the Father. You ever went to dinner at a relative's house? Man, I used to dread this. Tell me if it's the same for you. I used to dread this. They'd all get together and they'd all stand there. Everyone needs to tell everybody what they're thankful for. It's like, oh my gosh, here we go. Right? Yeah. And Dave was telling me that someone used to go around with a microphone and ask you all what you're thankful for. That won't happen as long as I'm your pastor. Let me tell you that. Oh my. I used to sit there and you know, after the Lord saved me, and I never heard that. I never heard that except in the Christian environment. When I was a heathen, we just ate, and, you know, we just ate, right? Just, it was just another day to have some food and drink. And but after the Lord saved me, and you know, I started being around other professing believers, this always came up when Thanksgiving Day, or you know, and I'd always say, well, I'm thankful for Christ. And they say, oh, we're all thankful for him. What are you talking? Well, is there anything more than to be thankful about? Really? Let's just end the conversation and say, Christ, I'm thankful for Christ. It's all over. There's nothing, right? But I wasn't doing it with that spirit. I was just thankful for Christ, saving my soul. But it was, oh, that's obvious. Well, no, it's not. Anyways, so you won't have any of that stuff here, Lord willing. We won't be walking around. If we do, Dave will be carrying the mic. Okay? And you will answer. Yes, you will be. Oh, I love you all. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Colossians. Colossians. Verses. We're going to read quite a few verses here, verses 1 to 17 of this book, to get the setting of what Paul's writing here. Now, Colossae was an ancient city in Asia Minor. It was one of the most celebrated cities in its day. And today it would be located in what is southern Turkey today. So that's where it was in Asia Minor. During Paul's time, it wasn't as big of a city as it was at one time. It was a booming city at one time. And it had dwindled down. But it was still a pretty well-known city. And it was known for its, this is incredible, I didn't realize this. I did know about the angel worship through our study in Colossians, but I didn't know that it was known for its fusion of religious influences. It took all kinds of stuff in, which included Jewish, Gnostic beliefs, Jewish beliefs, pagan influences in the first century. And it was well known for an angel cult. People worshipped angels there. And the city was decimated by an earthquake in the 60s AD before being totally destroyed in 1192 or 1193. They're not sure which AD. AD, though, both 60 AD, and it was just totally destroyed. And several people moved to a neighboring city after that. It was never rebuilt. And, of course, the Gnostics had crept into the church, and they were saying, you know, we have this knowledge of ways to God, and it's through all these different, they actually had fused the angel worship, and they said Christ is just one mediator out of many. And so they fused the angel worship with Gnosticism, and they believed then that there was levels of angels to get to God, and Christ was just one of those angels. And if you read the book in light of that, read Colossians, it'll come through what Paul is setting forth is the preeminence of Christ over everything, over angels, over all people. That's what Paul's setting forth in this. And it's a beautiful way to set forth Christ, because here you have these men saying this, and then you have Christ who's preeminent. you ever teach or preach, Brother Jonathan, somebody told me this a long time ago, and my John Claude told me this, always make Christ preeminent. That never left me. I stuck with that. He gets all the preeminence no matter what. No matter what. You know, Brother Travis, when you're teaching too, he always gets the preeminence. Always. Always, always, always. It's just how it should be. How it should be. And the Gnostics, again, were a blend of the local cult of angel worshipers, and then they supposedly mixed Christianity into it too. And they said, well, we only have the keys to get to God, and you have to come. The whole thing with Gnosticism is they tell you, you have to go through them in order to know the truth. Well, that's the basis of most false religions, isn't it? It really is. They tell you that you have to belong to their church, or you have to go to them to receive the knowledge of who God is. So with that in mind, is born again, blood-washed believers, we have much to be thankful for. We have much to be thankful in the fact that we believe the truth and not a lie. I used to believe a lie. Did you? And now I believe the truth. And the only one who's showing me that, the only one who's revealed that to us as believers, is God the Holy Spirit by his regenerating power, giving us the faith, as we saw today, to look to Christ. To look to Christ and him alone. So let's look here. Colossians chapter 3. Now, this is very instructive here, even for today. The fact that all this stuff's going on in the world. You ever notice something? You ever notice something? Vicki and I went out for lunch the other day, and we were sitting beside two ladies. And I do this. I like listening in. Do y'all like listening in? No one will admit it, but we like listening in, don't we? We love it. We love listening in. Man. They were complaining. One lady started complaining, the other lady started, and they just was mixing that pot, stirring that pot, right? Stirring that pot. And I'm thinking about this message. I'm thinking, man, they're not thankful for nothing. They're just feeding off each other's, you know, problems. And you know, we always look for someone who will listen, right? Well, we always look for someone who will listen. Well, we complain. Right? Let's be honest, we're all the same, right? Or, you know, I actually like, when Vicki comes home from work, and I'm sure several of you do this with your spouses, is she'll tell me about her day, and I'll just listen. And it's just a way for her to unload from the day, right? And that's good. You need to do that. You need a sounding board. You need someone just to listen. Not say a word. I've learned as a man now, finally, after 26 years of marriage, that my wife doesn't need me to fix things. Okay? Just listen. Just listen, right? And so we need, but if you go out to the restaurants, listen in a little bit. People are always complaining about stuff. Very little are you sitting beside someone and they go, well, man, I'm so thankful the Lord saved me. Or I'm thankful, this is a beautiful day, I'm very thankful for it. Now, otherwise, oh, it's too windy. It's sunny, but it's too cold. Right? Always something. Always something. We always focus on the negative. Let us be thankful. Let us, as God's people, be thankful. You know, A.W. Pink wrote this. Now, this is a way to fix us from murmuring about the weather. Ever since I read this, I don't complain about the weather no more. A.W. Pink said this. He said, to murmur against the weather is to murmur against God's providence. Ooh, man. Oh, man. So when that snow comes, praise God, the snow's here. Right? Seriously, though. Dave's laughing. You can't do that. Oh, my. But no, seriously, though. Let's give thanks to God. Now, let's read this. So in this time, the world we live in, there's all kinds of things going on. All kinds. Antichrist, in the sense that people are against Christ, which is all Antichrist is. People think Antichrist is a man. Antichrist is a system. It's just against Christ. That's all it is. It's a religious system or a world system that's against Christ. That's all Antichrist means. If you look at the Greek definition, it just means against Christ. It doesn't say a man. It just says against Christ. So any religion that adds works to grace is against Christ. It's Antichrist. Any of it. Okay. So all the stuff going on in the world. Look at what Paul writes here to the Colossians. And this is good for us. This is good instruction for us right now. If ye then be risen with Christ, which God's people are, right? We're seated with him in heavenly places already. Seek those things which are above. Oh my, what's above? The Father, the Son, the saints of God worshiping God? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Do you know if I'm looking to Christ? I'm not looking at you, and I'm not looking at the world. You know, when we're complaining about people and stuff, we're looking at them, aren't we? Paul says, set your mind on things above. It'll make you thankful. When you start setting your mind on things above, when you start setting your mind on Christ sitting on the throne, that the work of salvation is a finished and accomplished work, that the atonement is perfect, it's already done, it's already complete, that we preachers get up and we preach a work that's already finished 2,000 years ago, that there's nothing for us to do but to look to Christ by God-given faith, that'll make you thankful, won't it? Yeah. Amen, brother. That'll make you thankful. And that thankfulness will just flow out of your heart. You see? You know, I remember hearing someone say a long time ago, and I totally disagree with this statement. I totally disagree with this statement. They'd say, well, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Okay, so you're telling me then not to look to Christ? Not to set my mind on Christ? Because if I'm in that position where I'm praising God in my heart and praising God amongst God's people, it's because I'm looking to Christ. And you know what? I don't do it enough. My. See, that's why, and remember who the true author of this is. It's not Paul. The true author is God the Holy Spirit. And he's telling us as believers. This is written to believers. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Just look to Christ. Just look to him. Look at this. Set your affection. That means your heart. In the Greek, that means your heart. Set your heart on things above, not on things on the earth. Don't get entangled with everything that's going on. Know what's going on. But don't get so stressed out and so worked up that it's paralyzing us. Jill, I don't even know what's coming tomorrow, do you? We don't know what's coming today, during the day. Exactly, Brett. But yet we can be concerned about things that may happen years from now, or may happen a month or not, or what? Sufficient is the evil thereof for today, right? For today. For today. That's why, Brother Brian, you and I have been talking about this and how much peace and joy it brings us just to look to Christ. To not get wrapped up in all the things going on. Because I don't know, I may die tomorrow. You may die tomorrow. We don't know. So let us rejoice this day in Christ, our Savior. Let us praise his name. Look, why should we do that? Look at this. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ. In God. We're the hidden ones. We're hidden in Christ. My, oh my. And we're dead. When Christ died, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. When Christ died, we died in him. We died to the law. Praise be to God. Right? We died to the justice of God, and the wrath of God's being extinguished against us. We're crucified with Christ. We're new creatures now. My, oh my. Look at this. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, notice that little word. We've been finding it everywhere. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. He's coming back. There's that little word, shall, again. We've been finding everywhere. He's coming back. It's guaranteed. Sure as the sun set this morning, our Lord is coming back. We just don't know when. We don't know when, but he's coming. I know he's either coming at my death for me, or if I'm alive when he comes again, I'll be caught up in the air with him. Either way, Either way, we're going to be with them. Right? Win-win. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Win-win. Yeah. We're going to be with them. Why? Because of what he's done for us. Because he shed his precious blood for us. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, it's wonderful. We've been redeemed, beloved. Now he gives us a little instruction here where we can't become antinomians and go out and go crazy. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which, look at this. This verse to me is so incredible. Because he just told us, for which things the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience for those things. And look what he says here. In the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. Praise God, he saved us. Praise God, he saved us, beloved. Scripture says we're not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. And we walk the same way as anyone else who's in hell right now. And the only one who made us to differ was God. The only one who made us to differ as believers is God. This is why we say, sinner friend, flee to Christ. We're just a bunch of saved sinners, aren't we? Christ is the only hope for sinners. And everything that a sinner needs is found in Christ. What? We need redemption. We need to be saved from all our sins. It's in Christ. We need justification so we can stand before God. It's in Christ. We need sanctification. We need to be made holy. We're made holy in Christ. Right? We need righteousness. Righteousness. Righteousness is not preached much anymore. You know why? Because people are going about trying to establish their own righteousness now. We need righteousness. Our righteousness is like filthy rags before the eyes of the Lord. And God the Father clothes us in the perfect righteousness of Christ. My, we have so much to be thankful for, don't we? So very much. Did we deserve any of that? No. We deserve this. We deserve this. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. That's what we do. We deserve the wrath of God. But I love what Paul said. I've obtained mercy. Brother Tom, we've obtained mercy, brother. Mercy. In and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We've obtained it by him, by his work, his perfect atonement on Calvary's cross, the shedding of his precious blood. We're fully forgiven, brother. Fully pardoned, so that God don't remember any of our sins. And I remember them. You probably remember yours. I remember mine. But he says, think of this too. Why do we beat ourselves up? They're already gone. They're already forgiven. They're washed under the blood. And Scripture says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And his blood has cleansed us from all unrighteousness, beloved. It's wonderful, isn't it, Brother Brian? It's wonderful. Man. Now, I don't have to tell you to be thankful, although in here we're going to I'm presenting things that why we should be thankful. I can see on some of your faces you're already thankful. Isn't that wonderful? And isn't it wonderful? The more you hear about it, the more happy and joyful and thankful it makes you. Salvation in Christ, a complete forgiveness. Like, I mean complete. So much so that the Scripture says, and ye are complete in Christ. That's your God don't see your sin no more. The forgiveness is not a partial forgiveness. It's a full forgiveness. And then to be given the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ, to be clothed in it by the Father. My. Oh, my. You wonder why I get excited when I preach? That's why. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I was there. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd still be there, wouldn't you? Deserving of wrath. And I still deserve wrath, but God's had mercy on me in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? My. Fills your heart with joy, doesn't it? Look at that, he tells us here. But now put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. lie not one to another. Back in those days, this is something interesting too, back in those days in the Asian culture, it was considered an art to lie. In the Middle East countries and stuff like that, it was considered an art to lie, to gain, whether you're in business and stuff like this, it was considered an art. That's why he's saying here, lie not one to another, because it's wrong. It's a sin. But it was so ingrained in their culture. Lie not one to another. Seeing you put off the old man with his deeds. We're new creatures now in Christ. We're made new by the Holy Spirit of God, by his regenerating power, aren't we? Born again. Why? Because of the precious blood of Christ that redeemed us. Because the Father chose us in Christ in eternity. It all goes back to him. He gets all the glory for it. And have put off the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now look at this. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew. Greek there represents the Gentiles, but look, he's going to go on a little bit more here. Circumcision or uncircumcision? Well, that's the Gentiles, the uncircumcision, and the circumcision being the Jews. Barbarian, the Gauls, and anyone, actually, Rome considered anyone outside of Rome a barbarian, a savage. And Israel considered anyone outside of Israel just a bunch of heathen dogs. So barbarian would for the Israelites, would compose of anyone outside of Israel. Now it says here, Scythian. Who's the Scythians? Well, if you look up the Scythians, we thought Vikings were bad. The Scythians were the worst of the worst. Known as the barbarian of the barbarians. They would go into battle, slaughter anyone they could, chop their heads off, and drink their blood out of their skulls. That's how wicked they were. They were known again as the barbarians of the barbarians. Absolute. Well, look at this. The Lord saved some of them. How do we know that? This is amazing. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Oh my, the worst of the worst. That's me. Is that you? Right? We're the chief of sinners, aren't we? Every one of us. But these Scythians, they were something else. And you know what? It's even in us to be that way. Except for the grace of God. I remember Todd Nybert saying, the only difference between me and somebody in prison is the grace of God. The worst criminal in prison is the grace of God. That's true for all of us, isn't it? We all have the same nature when we're born into this world. Now look at this. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. There's that word elect again. That means chosen in the Greek. My, how thankful we are that we were chosen in Christ, eh? Before the foundation of the world. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. That's what we're called. Notice that? It's not what we have to try to be. It's what we're called, holy. We're made holy by Christ. It's all by him. Beloved. Beloved is what the brethren called each other. Beloved of God. Bowels of mercy. Oh. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. Long-suffering. Look, we see two of the fruit of the Spirit there. Meekness and long-suffering. But all these things have to be worked in us. We're not humble. We're not humble by nature, are we? Scripture says God humbles the pride. That's what he does to believers. Do you know that? When it says he humbles the pride, that's what he's done to you and I, as believers. He's humbled the proud. Look at this. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I was told this a long time ago. I've shared it with a few of you. In every circumstance, we can either get better or bitter. Right? people have often asked me, how do you let things go so easily? Well, I can either get better or bitter, right? Do you know that if I get bitter at someone, you ever think of this? When I get bitter at someone, it doesn't affect them. They don't even know I'm bitter at them. You ever think of that? Who's it affect? Right? We get mad at people. Now, somebody might know you're mad at them. You might have a dispute with someone, but there's other people. They might tick you off, and they don't even know. They don't even have a clue you're mad at them. You're just burning hot. Who's it affecting? Me. Right? Keep short accounts, beloved. You know why? Because Christ wiped our account clean. Paid in full. Washed in the blood of Christ. God's people. I think it was Henry said this. God's people who've received grace are gracious. They are. They are. And that's God working that in us, isn't it? It's amazing. Oh my. Look at this. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. My. You ever had somebody really do you wrong? Like, I mean really deep. We're to forgive them, aren't we? God, give us grace to do that. God, give us strength to do that. Because look how much Christ has forgiven us. Who did we sin against? We sinned against God, didn't we? And he has forgiven us all our sins and trespasses in Christ. And Christ died before God. He died before God's justice and law for us. Because it's us who had offended the Father. He's the lawgiver, isn't he? Oh, but look at this. Oh. Look at this. And above all these things, put on love, charity, love. Yeah. This is the love that's mentioned in Galatians 5:22, the love of the Spirit, which is not natural to us. Right? This is that love from the Father. Now, we love our family members in our natural state, but this love spoken of here, this charity spoken of here, is that love that's wrought in us by God, the Holy Spirit. And you know what it does? It makes us thankful. It makes us full of joy. It gives us peace that passes all understanding to keep our hearts and minds upon Christ and Him alone. That's what it does. And then look at this. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Remember, you've heard me say before, the one thing Satan can't counterfeit is the love of God that the Holy Spirit gives to the saints. He cannot counterfeit that. He can counterfeit a lot of other things. He even has counterfeit faith. He even has a counterfeit Jesus. But he cannot counterfeit this love. Cannot. Look at this. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. How do we do that? By setting your mind on things above. By setting your mind on Christ. And look at this. Here it is. To which also ye are called in one body. We're one here. We come from all different places. And the whole body of Christ universal comes from all different places, all different countries. And we're one in Christ. Isn't that amazing? One body. And be ye thankful. Thankful. Like I said, sit in a restaurant, listen to people's conversations. And not many people are thankful. But God's people are thankful. See, even though we can be caught up in those things too, we still are thankful. And this is why we need to hear the preaching of the gospel. Because we forget so quickly. We forget the blessings of God. I think it was Miles McKee. He's a friend of Donnie Bell and I's. And he said that one time. He said the whole reason we need to hear the gospel is because we forget so quickly. That's why every week we have to come and keep hearing the gospel. keep hearing about what Christ has done for us. My. Sister Carolyn told me one time, I love that, sister. You said, I wish we could just stay here and sleep and have you preach to us every day. I love it. But that's not how it is, though, right? But that's wonderful. Does your heart not fill with joy when you hear about Christ? Does it not make you thankful? And no one, I don't have to muster that up for you. I don't have to rah-rah you, do I? It just comes out. You know, and to be thankful even in the midst of heavy trials. That's the grace of God working in you. That's the grace of God working in you. My, oh my. And he said this, look at this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Just let it dwell in you. Think about it. Meditate upon it. Take one scripture and just meditate upon it for a week, a day. Just run it through your mind while you're at work or wherever you run it through your mind. There's one I did a long time ago and it still sticks with me. It says, now when I want to remember it, I can't remember it, is it? Oh my. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's not giving us a spirit of fear. So when something comes up and I think, oh my, God's not giving you a spirit of fear, Wayne. See, and we can also use those in times that we go through when we memorize the scripture. Another one was, there's one about a broken spirit drieth the bones. Oh gosh, I can't remember it. See, yeah, see, right when I want to remember it. My. But we, it's good. It's good for us to just pick up the scriptures and read. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. Before you read the scriptures, bow your head and say, Holy Spirit, please illuminate the scriptures for me. Teach me. Teach me. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Let us encourage one another in Christ. May this be a place where we can come. As Sister Dee said, a place where we can come and be open with each other and just be thankful for God, thankful for each other. We're family, beloved. God has brought us together. He's brought us together. And we are all going through different things in our lives. Although I bet you if we got together, we'd find out we're struggling with a lot of the same things. But here we are, we're going through this life, and God has brought us here together. Isn't it amazing? Scripture says, bear ye one another's burdens. Right? Pray for each other. And I know you do. I love how cards are signed and sent out, and it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. It's so encouraging. But that manifests the love that we have for one another, doesn't it? And how thankful we are for each other. Are you thankful for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Isn't it wonderful? You know, do you know I have, you know, my two brothers, I pretty well lost them when the Lord saved me. But I have more brothers now. I have two more big brothers and a whole bunch of other brothers. I got little brothers. I got aunts and uncles. Some of you I consider like an aunt and an uncle. Some of you I consider like a mom and a dad. Right? Isn't God so good? Donnie Bell told me that a long time ago, and I always, he said, I can go anywhere in the U.S. with God's people, and I've got family. Isn't that amazing? And it's God who's knit our hearts together. And we're thankful for that, aren't we? It produces thankfulness in us. My, people always again look for a friendly ear to complain to. Let us get together and rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the wonderful things that he's done for us. Look at verse 15 again. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Well, some may say, well, what's the foundation of thankfulness? Well, the foundation of being truly thankful, or the necessity of being thankful, must be in the understanding which is given to us, right? We don't have a natural understanding of these things, that we have in Christ. What we have in Christ is not a result of our own efforts. It's not a result of our wills. It's not a result of anything we've done. But the faith that we have in Christ is a gift from God. The salvation that we have in Christ is a gift from God. I am so thankful, and I'm just saying this, that my salvation is not dependent upon me. Are you? I'm so thankful for that. It would be horrible if my salvation was dependent upon me. Because I'd be just like I was in my natural state, lost. Would it be so for you? Isn't God good? He saved your soul. He saved your soul. My, oh my, it's wonderful. And to be thankful is a not natural result of being made aware of who we are, who we really are, sinners, in desperate need of Christ. And who it is that has blessed us. Listen to this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So our Father is the one who's blessed us. And he's blessed us in Christ, whom he sent to this world to save us from our sins. That'll make us thankful, won't it? So when someone asks you, are you thankful for anything? Say, I'm thankful for Christ. And there ain't nothing else that I need to be thankful for. Right? Because if I'm in Christ, I have everything. Do you have everything in Christ? We got everything. Can anything make you more thankful than Christ? My. Dave, grab the mic. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, my, no. But it's true. The Apostle Paul was acquainted with this truth. He wrote this in 1 Corinthians 4:7. He said, for who maketh thee to differ one from another? And what is thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? So the only one who's made us to differ, praise be to God, is God the Father in Christ. So we know we couldn't save ourselves. And then with thankful hearts, we praise him for saving us. And that heart is a new heart, isn't it? That hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Oh, my. When a man or woman's made to know the weakness of their flesh and the sinfulness of their heart and our natural inability to produce any righteousness or to save ourselves, then by God's grace, they bow down and thank the Lord of heaven for saving their souls. When we're born again, what's the first thing? I'll tell you what. There's words of praise coming out of our mouth, isn't there? Remember when the Lord first saved you? I can't put a date on it. You know, people say, well, I know the date and the time, and I just know the Lord saved me, so I'm just trusting in him. Spurgeon said that. You get a bunch of preachers together, you can't give you the date or time. That don't matter, does it? What you know what matters right now? Amen, sister. Who are you trusting right now? Right now. Right this second. Are you trusting in yourself or are you trusting in Christ? If you're trusting in yourself and you die in that state, you're going to go right to hell. And it'll be all your own doing. But if God saves you, you're going to give him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise while you're on earth and when you're in heaven. Because he has made me glad. Has he made you glad? Has he made you glad? Oh, my. Save my soul. My. See, the natural man's convinced in their heart that they're somehow deserving of God's grace and mercy. Right? Well, my good will outweigh my bad. No, it won't. No, it won't. You're not deserving of that. None of it. You know what we're deserving of? God's wrath. That's what we're deserving of, right? But praise be to God, that fell upon Christ for his people. And natural man thinks they got to perform some deed. No, I'll tell you what, the work's done. Salvation is already accomplished. You know who did it? The Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look to him, he'll make you thankful. Oh my. Romans chapter 1 says, because that when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. So natural man's not thankful to God. It's just not in us. When you're born again, you become thankful. You become thankful to God. Remember the Pharisee? Even he thanked God, remember? But it wasn't true thankfulness to God. It was hypocrisy. I thank God that I do this and I do that. That was a false thankfulness. He wasn't thankful to God. He was so full of himself, it wasn't funny, wasn't he? I do this and I do that. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm a nothing telling other nothings where to find the one. I got that from Scott. That's right. He's the one. We're a bunch of zeros. Now people say, well, how'd you talk like that? Well, I'm a zero, I'll tell you that. But with Christ, man, I'm saved. I'm saved. He's something. And I'm nothing. But praise God, he's had mercy on us. Are you thankful? Don't even have to ask, really, do I? Oh, my. Now, again, to be thankful is a result of God working in us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and unto the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So our thankfulness flows from us through Christ. Always. And our thankfulness is because of what God's done in us. Because we're born again. Paul says this again in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you always in my prayers. He was thankful. Ceased not to stop being thankful for the Ephesian church, who were very dear to him. And then again, let's look again at Colossians 3, verses 15 to 17 again. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So twice he's brought it up here. Give thanks to God. If you have anything in this world, give thanks to God. Give thanks for everything you have. Because it all comes from him. Like what Dave says, our children are on loan. They're just on loan to us. They're God's. God created everything, didn't he? They're his. My, oh my. What a blessing they are to us. Another reason we should be thankful to our great God is the fact that he's given us our daily bread. Do you know that in Psalm 68:19 it says this, blessed be the Lord, that's Jehovah, who daily, loaded us down with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Daily loaded us down. Well, you think, well, I just got to have a cup of coffee. You know, God had rain fall upon where that coffee was going to be growing. And he gave the increase. And that coffee came up, right? I think coffee's from a tree, right? From a bean? No, it's from a bean, isn't it? I don't know. I don't drink coffee, but. Anyways, it was grown by God. He gives the increase, right? Brother Neil, you plant your crops, and God gives the increase, right? He gives the increase to those crops. And then you get the bounty of it. Well, think of that coffee you drink in the morning. Some farmer harvests it, right? Farmer out in probably in Brazil or somewhere, he harvests that bean. And they put it in a bag or something, sent it off, went to some factory, got cooked up, got trucked from the factory to the grocery store. You went to the grocery store, You picked out that thing of coffee, and you went home, you start brewing your coffee. All by the providence of God that comes to you. Daily, that food that appears on your plate, you think, well, I bought that. God gave it to you. Daily loaded down with benefits. God gave you the money to get that, gave us the know-how to be able to go work, right? See, we can't boast in anything, beloved. We can't. God's got to get all the glory. If you're really good at your job, if you're outstanding, it's because God gave you that ability to be doing that. That's all. See, it's humbling, isn't it? But it's true. Oh, my. Another reason we should be thankful is that our God's a sovereign God. He has no rival. No rival. He don't need no counselors. He does whatever he wills in the armies of heaven. And all the people of the earth are reputed as nothing to him. Listen to this. Saying, we give thanks, O God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. Revelation 11:17. Our God reigns, beloved. He's sovereign. I'm thankful he's sovereign because that means everything going on in this world is happening according to his will and purpose. Right? Make you thankful, doesn't that? Sure clear up a lot of things. When God, he's not the creator of evil. You know why men go around killing each other? Because we're sinful. We're a bunch of sinners. That's why. That's why. We can do the worst things to each other. But God's plan is unfolding, isn't it? Sinners are being saved. I remember I was listening to Henry Mahan one time. When I heard this, I was like, wow. He said, God will start a war to save one of his sheep. To get a preacher over there, or to get someone, a believer over there, to give the gospel. Now, he's not the author of it, but he allows it to happen. But isn't that amazing when you think about that? I'm thinking about all the stuff going on. Who knows if someone's going to download a message from a grace preacher or somewhere and hear the truth, beloved, and Lord save them. Isn't that amazing? We don't know. We don't know what God does. The word goes out, and he does whatever he pleases with it. My, oh my. Another reason we should be thankful to God is because he is God. He's a holy God. He delights in righteousness. Scripture says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Let us remember his holiness. Let us remember how we were unholy by nature, dead in trespasses and sins. And let us rejoice that he's made us holy in Christ, so that we can be in the presence now of the one who is holy. Isn't he so good? Isn't he so good, beloved? Oh, my. He displays his goodness to us. The scripture says, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. How long? Forever. We are witnesses of that. In this generation, aren't we? In our generation, we're witnesses to the great mercy of God in Christ. Because we're receivers of it. My. Another reason we should be thankful is God's given us his word. Scripture says this, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as the word of truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. So they heard the word with power. By whose power? God the Holy Spirit's power. Some people hear preachers and all they hear is our words. Won't do nothing. I could stand up here and speak for hours and hours and hours. And if all you're hearing is my words, it won't profit you anything. But if God the Holy Spirit gets a hold of those scriptures, which he does, I'll tell you why. And he uses them for his glory and raises one of his lost sheep out of the deadness of their sin and saves them. Praise be to God. Right? Glory to his name. And that's what he did to us. we were dead, dead in trespasses and sins. Another reason we should be thankful is that he's given us the unspeakable gift of his Son. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. That's Christ. Words cannot explain how wonderful he is to our souls. Words cannot even explain it. And praise God, when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he saved us, beloved. He saved us from all our sins. And we should be thankful because God, our Lord and Savior, has set an example that we should follow in his steps continually, thanking his heavenly Father. He said, at this time, Jesus said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. That's us. Hidden from the wise and the prudent. We're just common folks, beloved. We're common folks. God saved us. He took this cup and gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, drink it, all of you, for this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. You see, like, took the cup and gave thanks. You ever notice that too? You know, I remember when I was a baby Christian and used to go out and, you know, we got to say grace. Everybody hold their hands in the restaurant, right? Everybody put your hands together. And then there'd be a prayer. Scripture says, he took the cup and gave thanks. Let us just take our food and thank you, Lord. We don't make a big open show, do we? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm not against praying. Don't get me wrong there. I'm not going to say that. But we don't have to do no big show out in public, do we? Thank you, Lord. And you know, you could even be thanking the Lord in your heart. I like when Tom and I go out. We give thanks. We give thanks to God for our food. We thank him for it. It's wonderful. But we don't have to make a big open show of it. No. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for your grace and mercy. And we should thank him also when we're together. You know, also, we should thank him when we're alone. Right? We have so much to be thankful for. I ask you this, are you thankful that God saved you? Are you thankful that 2,000 years ago Christ died on the cross and said for the salvation of our souls, it is finished? Oh my. Are you thankful for the regenerating power of God the Holy Spirit? My, it's wonderful, isn't it? Are you thankful that before there ever was a world, before there was ever any angels, God chose us in Christ? Boy, oh boy. You know, did we know any of this before the Lord saved us? Oh. You know, I often think people go to football games, they lose their minds, right? Yelling and screaming. Hallelujah. Let's say it. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name for his goodness and his grace towards us. We don't have to shout like that. We don't have to shout like that. But it's true though, isn't it? And here we are. Let us leave here today with thankful hearts. When we have our Thanksgiving dinner, let's thank him. Let's thank him for his provision, for his mercy, for his grace. And if someone asks you, what are you thankful for? I'm thankful for Jesus Christ, and I don't need to be thankful for nothing else. Right? No mic, Dave. No mic. Brother Jonathan, can you close us in prayer, please?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of worship together. I pray that you do grant us thankful hearts that seek after you and see your providence and your goodness, your grace, your faithfulness to us, to see that truly we are nothing and you are everything. every good and perfect gift comes from your merciful hand. I pray that you give us eyes to see that and hearts to worship you for your goodness, for who you are, because you alone are worthy of our worship, of our praise, our thankfulness. Pray that you give us hearts to see you. We thank you for Christ, for Christ's perfect work, and we're thankful that it is finished, that he accomplished salvation and full forgiveness of sin, full payment for sin, because of his life and his death. And we are thankful, Father, and we thank you for your providence. We thank you for this time together. It's in your precious name that we pray, the name of Christ.